This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 16. And it says this in verse 1, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. They were shocked. "Don't be afraid," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified, but he has risen. He is not here. And look and see the place where they laid him. But go tell the disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb, and they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And when Jesus rose early in the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. And when they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. This is the day that you've made, and we rejoice in it. We rejoice on the Resurrection Sunday. Lord, we say thank you. Without it, we'd be lost. We say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's a great passage. I pray that you read the resurrection passage at home. And if you have children, read it with them as well. And before I forget, we have group photos after the service downstairs, and if you have a little baby, you get to go first, all right? So Mark gives us a snapshot of the resurrection in a few verses. It's not a very long chapter. And the question you and I should have is that, what is Mark, the gospel writer, trying to get us to understand concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ? We're going to see, and if you read in the King James Version, you're going to see that there are a lot of people who were shocked and amazed. I don't know if you've ever been shocked. Have you ever been shocked? I was told by some people I know that in high school, somebody got a taser for a gift, and these high school boys were tasing each other, and that's what you get, high school boys in the room. So I don't know if you've ever been shocked. I'm bringing back an old story, but I remember the day that my daughter and her husband told us they were going to have twins. And it was very shocking, right? It's a good shock, but still a shock nonetheless. I remember one time I was in Wild Adventures, and we knew they were having twins, and I just happened to notice a lady that had twin boys in line to get into the amusement park. And I saw these boys running around, and I'm like, that's the cutest thing on the planet. She has twins, and, you know, Robin and I were going to get twins. And so a few hours later, I ran into her again. She was sitting having a picnic. She was sitting at the bench by the water park. And I go up to her and I said, "Hey, excuse me." I noticed you have twins. And she just looked at me. She was eating. And I said, my daughter is going to have twins as well. And the only thing she said to me is she looked up with food in her mouth. She's like, tell her good luck. And so, and that's all she said. I was shocked. Like, we now understand, especially the early days, right? Yeah. And I saw those boys at Wild Adventures running all over the place. Two boys. It was fun. Tell her good luck. And so, shocking. You're going to see people who are shocked in this story. Mark will tell us again and again that the disciples and the followers of Christ were shocked, and it's going to shock the world. And Jesus is going to usher in this new hope and this new start. It's kind of like being shocked back to life, or to life. And so the resurrection of Jesus, the body of Jesus resurrected, surprised and shocked the world. Mark tells us that after the Sabbath, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome visited the tomb of Jesus to anoint Jesus' body with spices so the flesh wouldn't begin to smell, because there was going to be other people buried around there, and they didn't want this particular burial site to smell, so they went there. But what happened? They were shocked. They were maybe scared, but they were definitely shocked when they discovered that Jesus wasn't there, that the stone had been rolled away. And when they look inside the tomb, they're shocked again, and they see a young man clothed in white sitting at an empty tomb. And the young man, the angel, says, don't be astonished. Don't be shocked. Jesus has risen. He's not here. And he basically says he's gone ahead of you. He's in Galilee, and you will see him just as he told you. And so these shocked women fled from the tomb, and they said nothing. And that's what the resurrection did for the disciples at first. It caught them by surprise, and it shocked them. Why were they shocked? They were told what was going to happen. What was the surprising part? Well, I think in the physical sense, it was surprising, because they literally just saw their Savior, Jesus, actually die on the cross. They witnessed the brutal killing by the Roman Empire. They humiliate him, and then they kill him. They actually saw him die. And they knew without a shadow of a doubt that he had died and that he was killed. And they knew without a shadow of a doubt that he was put in this tomb. They were shocked because they knew he was dead, but now they're saying that he's not, that he's risen, he's no longer in the tomb. So what happened between Friday, Good Friday as we celebrate, and Sunday? Well, we know that this, and I'm speculating here, that the disciples, the followers of Jesus, started to doubt. Did they begin to doubt their experience? You know, maybe they doubted the words of Jesus. They were with him. They said all these things were going to happen. And maybe they translated in their minds and what was going to happen. And then when it actually happened, it created some doubt. You know, they had some questions they thought were answered. But now that he's dead, they've become unanswered. I love Saturday because Saturday represents to me where a lot of people are at in their journey with Jesus. There's lots of doubt. You know, maybe you were raised in a church. Maybe you went to church as a young man, a young woman, and you learned all these Bible verses, and you learned these stories, and you went to church, and then you went off to college, and then you never been back to church. And maybe you're here today, and that's you. Why? Because you heard the teachings, and then you've now experienced doubt. You heard about joy, but you've experienced some sadness. Have you heard about this peace, but you haven't experienced peace? And all of a sudden, just like these disciples on Saturday, began to doubt and doubt his teachings and doubt that what he taught was true. What they didn't see was that Sunday was right around the corner. And maybe you can't see, if you're here today at Mosaic Church, you're in that state of Saturday. You're like doubting and you have questions, and maybe you thought it was going to unfold this way and it didn't. And so you're in a Saturday mode. And I'm here to challenge you, and I pray that pray to God that you understand that Sunday today is right around the corner. And God wants to meet you, even in your doubt. So the first thing again is that they saw him get killed and no longer is he in the tomb. The second thing is that the resurrection, even though they were told, is still shocking to the first century worldview. The first century worldview of understanding of life after death was definitely influenced by the Greeks. The Greek thinker believed that when people died, they never came back to this world. Once you were dead, you went down into the underworld, a place of shadows. And if I'm not mistaken, once you're down there, you have maybe a little glimpse of what it was like up here. It's kind of like remembering elementary school. Anybody really have a good glimpse of elementary school? I just remember, you know, certain parts. And so the Greeks understood that you died, you went to the underworld, and you kind of had a vague understanding of this world. And for Plato, the soul and the metaphysical world were much more real than the physical world. So Greek thinkers thought the body was like a prison. And so now you've been sent to the underworld and you escaped this prison. So there was no reason to come back to this world. So that's the background of what first century people were thinking. People do not come back to life. Why would they? So this shocked the disciples. They couldn't wrap their heads around this fact. Now for the Jewish world, what they believed happened is really, a lot of it comes out of the book of Daniel chapter 12. What happens in the Old Testament, in the Jewish world, is that bodies will be dead, asleep, but the souls will continue to live on until the Messiah comes back. And so this is shocking too, because bodies don't come back to life. And Jesus came back to life bodily. So they were shocked. The third thing we know is that the resurrection shocked not only first century followers of Jesus, but it shocked the world today. Have you talked to your neighbor about Jesus and you start talking to him like, here's a guy that lived 2,000 years ago and they crucified him on the cross, and your neighbor's like, okay. And then he died, like, all right. And then he came back to life. Usually that's where you lose your neighbor. Like, no, that doesn't happen. Many people today in our culture believe that once you dust to dust, you're just gone. But all of us in this room, hopefully, but many of us for sure know that Jesus is alive today. He is risen, not just a figment of our imagination, not just a good story, or not just the principles of Jesus, but Jesus himself. Amen? Not only did he go into the underworld and he conquered death, he paved the way for everlasting life. But many sadly don't believe that. They think that once we die, we just vanish into the dust. There's a great book you could always read, The Case for Christ, The Case for Resurrection by Lee Strobel. You could definitely get those resources, and it goes into more details. But the resurrection of Jesus brings in new hope and new life for a world that is in desperate need for a new hope and new life. And so it doesn't just happen when we go off to heaven. We can have that now. God forgives our sins and ushers the kingdom of God into this world. And many of us have experienced the kingdom of God coming into this world and our world. I don't know about you. If you're part of our church, you know, you've heard my story. But I was lost. I was selfish. I was not a good guy. Matter of fact, sometimes when I share my stories of my past, people say, man, you were not a good guy. And I'm like, I know that. You don't have to convince me. I know that. But a new hope, a new life came into my life. God forgave me and he ushered the kingdom of God into this world. And now I, because of Jesus, I have now have new life today. He set me free by the power of, we sang it this morning, by the power of the blood that was shed on the cross. And supernaturally, he set me free. And if I were to ask you to raise your hand, some of you would say, yes, supernaturally, he set you free. Free from me trying to save myself. And I found out really quick that it was very difficult, it was impossible to save myself. I couldn't do it. I thought I could be just a good guy and that would be enough. But I knew my heart, I knew my mind, and I was far from being a good guy. It was the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ, that changed my life, and he's changed your life. The resurrected Jesus brings new hope to the world and is available to you and to me. I could not save myself. My eyes were opened one day. I was blinded to my selfish desires and needs. And then one day, my eyes were opened for my need for Jesus. Ephesians 4:25 says, Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Ephesians 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't because of what Mario could do, and I tried to be a good person. I just couldn't. It didn't work. It worked for a few moments until opportunity came and I became that same selfish person I was before. But through Jesus Christ, he changed my life and changed my trajectory. And as I bow my knee to him every day, all of a sudden he started changing my direction that I wanted to go. So the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ brought new hope and a new start for his disciples and his followers all the way 2,000 plus years later and for us. Once the disciples discovered it was truly Jesus who had come back to life, it changed their life. It gave them a new start, a new purpose, a new calling, a clarity. So much so that these disciples went to make Jesus known throughout the known world. Ancient Roman world. And today, we, for those of us who know Jesus, we have much to be grateful for those early followers of Jesus. They knew that he was alive, that he was raised from the dead, and they gave their lives to follow him. Not some just principle. Some people actually believe that Jesus actually didn't die. He died, but he wasn't raised from the dead. But his principles live today. But here, this morning, at Mosaic Church, we believe that he physically rose from the dead. It wasn't just the principles. And they gave their lives for this. All of them died persecuted for preaching and teaching the truth of the gospel. They wanted the whole world to know about this new hope and this new start and this new life. They went from being shocked to being awed and to begin to tell the story of the newness of life in Christ. A new hope, a new start, a new life. We get to have new life in our hearts. Now, back in the day, if you talk to my Sarasota friends, I go to my high school reunions. And some of them have not been to the prior reunions, and they're always shocked to hear that I'm a minister because they know what my life was like, and they're always shocked. And I'm telling you, that's the power of Jesus. It's not anything I've done, but it's only through the power of Jesus. Jesus gave me a new life, a new destiny, a new purpose in life, a new clarity. And I'm here to tell you that if you need a new life, a new start, that Jesus can help you. He'll change you. And that's what the resurrection does. He gives us new life and a new start. So let me ask you, if you're not following Jesus fully, how's it going for you? How's it going? Let's be honest. How is it really going? I have found that trying to save yourself is very hard. It's so hard that it's actually impossible. Ephesians 2 says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves." In other words, salvation comes through trust in Jesus. And this morning, Jesus is trying to get all our attention. And for some of you, hopefully many of you, you have no problem saying yes to Jesus and dying to self. But the challenge for sadly too many is letting Jesus be the king of your life. For by grace you have been saved through faith in Christ, and this not of yourselves. Faith is trusting in Christ. There's salvation and there's kingship. It's the two sides of the same coin. Easter today, Resurrection Sunday, is a great starting point to Jesus. If you need a new starting point, Jesus is here to meet you. So this morning, I want you to really think about it. How's it really going without Jesus? Are you ready to be surprised and shocked by the resurrected Jesus, the King of this world? Are we ready to receive new hope that the resurrected Jesus has come to offer us? Are you ready for a new start in life available to us through the resurrected Jesus? And I cannot think of a better time than right now. I know it sounds too good to be true, but I'm here to tell you, and many people here would say the same. Jesus is worth following. Receiving Christ into your life is free, doesn't cost you anything. But there is a cost. You have to remove yourself from your own seat of authority and let Jesus sit on the throne. And there are many times that'll rub you the wrong way. Sometimes it rubs me the wrong way. I'd rather do this, but the Lord says, no, I want you to live according to my plan and purpose. So this morning is an opportunity to come to know Christ. He wants to bring new life in you, a full life, a purposeful life. To step aside and say, Lord, I don't want to be the designer and the architect of my life. I'm going to step aside and I'm going to let you, I trust you and I ask you to come into my life and I want you to be the architect. I want you to be the designer. I want you to be the builder of my life. So let's just pray. Let's bow our heads. If you're new to church, we'd like to just bow our heads and it's a way of just maybe getting rid of the distractions. If you've never accepted Christ into your life and put your life out of the center and put Jesus in the center, and you'd like to do that this morning, every head bowed, eyes closed, if that's you, just I want you to raise your hand if there's someone in the room. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I pray, God, that if everyone here this morning that says they follow you, that they truly do. Lord, help us to not be liars on Sunday morning. Help us to be people telling the truth. So, Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, thank you. I receive your mercy and grace for the forgiveness of my sin. Lord, I turn over my life to you. I tried living my own life. It was a dead end. And Lord, not only that, Lord, I've done things against you. Lord, thank you for your forgiveness. I humble myself and kneel before you that I need you. Thank you for coming into my life. Thank you, Lord, for being my Savior, and Lord, continually be the Lord and King of my life. Lord, teach us your ways so that we can continue to walk in this new hope, this new destiny, this new clarity, and new purpose. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.